media, myself and others who are involved in news media. So you can listen to the whole interviews on evidenceandanswers.org. And, oh, yes, I just came from here. Okay. We did a great show. What did we do it on? Can't remember already. All right. And here. Okay. All right. Now, one of the most powerful forms of communication today is the news media. All right. The news media can present powerful images and ideas that affects one's view of the world, okay, and it can influence one's thinking. Now, news reporting has changed since the days of Walter Cronkite, okay, and those days when we were growing up. Back then, the goal of news media was to report relevant information as quickly as possible, but also to report news that was reliable, okay, and trustworthy. All right, now, in recent years, and something we've been saying for the last 10 years, is that news reporting has changed, and now we're beginning to understand that there are times you cannot completely trust what you're hearing over the news. All right? The news media has definitely changed over the past few decades. Now, in 1979 to 80, 75% of all viewers in America watching news were watching the big three, ABC, NBC, or CBS. All right? 75%. Okay? 21 years later, in 2000, the share of the audience watching the news network, the big three, had shrunk all the way down to 43%. Okay, so in 20 years, they went from 75% to 40%. Okay. Now, the news media goal was once to report the news in an objective, fair, and reliable manner, so as not to influence thinking. Today, it has changed. There's an apparent agenda to influence the thinking of the culture in mainstream press. Okay? And they are not ashamed to talk about it. But their goal no longer is to report information fairly and accurate. Now it's to influence the thinking of the culture. All right? President Donald Trump, okay, called mainstream news fake news. And he said, fake news is the enemy of the people. Okay? Now, most of us realized bias in the media, especially in the last election, right? That's when it really, for many, came to the forefront, right? We were seeing news of Trump being clobbered by double digits, right, a week or two before the election. Now, if you're down more than 9% before the election, there is absolutely no chance you have of winning. Okay? If you're down by more than 9% before, you know, a month before the election, there's no chance you have of winning. Yet, you know, we saw, whoa, suddenly, you know, this guy was just sweeping states where he was down double digits just days before, all right? And, you know, Trump, as much, there's a lot of things I don't like about him, but one of the things that a lot of Americans like about him is that he's perhaps the first president willing to take on the media. He's the first one willing to take them on. Not afraid of them, but willing to take them on and call them out, right, as fake news. Okay, he's one of the first president, or maybe the first one to do that. All right, so we're recognizing that there is bias in the news media. Okay, most Americans now are aware of that. Okay? Now, what do we mean by bias in the media? Bias in the news is about not only what they report, but how they report it and what they choose not to report. All right? So in all this, okay, the biblical principle here is discernment. Christians are called to be discerning. All right? Not only when it comes to theology and biblical teaching, but in the truth presented in the culture around you. All right? Discernment is a skill that Christians are to have. All right? Now, there's several biblical principles here, right, that we're to practice wisdom and discernment, even when it comes to the media. Okay? Proverbs 14 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but folly of fools is deceiving." The wise of heart are called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Okay, wisdom and discernment, okay, are often used interchangeably. Okay, a wise person can discern truth from error. One of the key principles here is the principle of what we call cross-examination. All right, Proverbs 18. "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." All right, that's a biblical principle here, the principle of cross-examination. Right, often when you hear the first person tell their side of the story, it seems pretty persuasive, right? But then when another witness comes and tells you their side of the story, suddenly you're like, okay, it seemed really good when he first told me, but this person's story is different, and they've got some powerful information on their side as well. How do we figure out who's right and what? Okay, you got to hear both sides of the story, as we keep saying. And that's a principle to remember when you're talking the news media, all right? Cross-examination. You got to remember that. That's absolutely key here in discerning truth in the media. Okay. All right, Romans 12. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect." All right, one of the skills Christians have to have is the ability to discern, okay, truth from error. Then you can discern God's will in a particular situation, all right? Paul's prayer is that we would grow in knowledge and all discernment to be able to approve what is excellent and pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus. Okay, so discernment, it's a skill that Christians should be foremost at, all right? Being able to discern truth from error, not only when it comes to Bible teaching and theology, but in all areas of the culture. Okay, when you're in your science class, you ought to be able to discern truth from error, okay? When you're in literature class, you need to be able to discern truth from it. When you we do a whole seminar on how to watch a movie, okay? When you're watching a movie, you got to be able to discern truth from error. In all arenas of culture, discernment is an absolute skill, okay, that you have to learn, right? Especially now when it comes to news media. Now, news media is one of the most powerful influences in our culture today. All right. Now, when it comes to the United States, where do the majority of people get their news information? Huh? Social media? Internet? So you're saying most people get their news information from the internet. Okay. All right. Any other sources of news media? Huh? Newspaper? Okay. What's the most popular? Yes. Okay. The most popular is the TV. Okay. About 57% of people still get the majority of their news from the television. All right. 38% get their information online, okay? And then 25% by radio. Yeah, radio. Okay? And then 20% still use the newspaper there, okay? So this is the latest Pew Research poll statistics there. Okay, so the majority still get their information from TV news. Now, those that are getting from TV news, what source are they watching to get their news? Okay, well, you think most people get their news from cable? Okay. Most people get their news from the big three still. NBC, CBS, ABC, by far, 25 million get their news from NBC, CBS, and ABC. By far, 25 million. Okay. Fox News is the number one cable news network. Okay, but they only have 2.5 million viewers. Okay, and then they're followed by CNN and MSNBC. So still, the majority of Americans get their news from the big three, ABC, CBS, NBC. All right? Now, in the Philippines, okay, the majority get their news from TV and their big three, which is equivalent to our ABC, CBS, NBC. Okay? So I was wondering why, when I'm out there in the Philippines, why is there so much anti-American hatred out there? I was just wondering why. And then when I, you know, the more and more I hang out on their university campuses, I'm realizing, oh, these guys are getting educated in the United States and in Europe. That's why all this anti-American hatred is coming through. And then when I'm watching their news, I realize, oh, okay, it's coming through their news as well. That's why there's so much anti-American sentiment out there in the Philippines, okay, and stuff. All right. Now, yeah, I remember I was at a university, and what were we talking about? I forgot, we were talking about something. And they said, well, the greatest source of evil in the world is America. America who, what did the students say? Who imposed their views and government on countries they conquer. You know, and so I let them go on for about 10 minutes. I said, oh, really? And they were going, ah. So I said, okay. I said, how did the conversation go? I said, name me one nation in the world, one empire. I said, you guys are smarter than me. I don't know. That conquers and defeats a nation, rebuilds the nation, and then gives the nation back to the people and leaves. Name me an empire that's done that. And they were all quiet. I said, you see what the Russians did in Eastern Europe? I said, go over there. Go visit them. Okay? I've been to Hungary, Poland, Romania. All right? I've seen what the Russians did over there. It's awful how they occupied those lands and stripped the people of their resources and everything and built monuments to themselves, you know. Russia, the liberator of the Hungarian people. Well, as soon as the Russians left, the Hungarians tore down all those monuments and shot them all up. And they hated what the Russia did to them. What did America do? Well, we conquered Japan, right? We rebuilt it, gave it back. Okay, right? Japanese ruled Japan, right? And I looked at the Filipino student. I said, we conquered the Philippines. I said, we conquered the Philippines. We got the Japanese out, and we took over the Philippines. And I said, what did we do? We rebuilt your country, and we left. Okay? I said, you guys run the country. They said, no, you put Marcos there. And I said, Marcos is your president. He changed the Constitution. He became, and I said, that was you guys. So we didn't have anything to do with that. And I said, look what China has just done to your Spratly Islands. They took it over. There's 7 airstrips there. There's a missile defense system. You guys can't cross the South China Sea without, you know, paying homage to China. I said, you want China to be the superpower here? And they were all quiet, you know. And I said, there's got to be a superpower in the world. Got to be. That's just the way. And I said, I'm glad it's the U.S. You know, if it was China, look what happened to Tibet. Look what's going on in your Spratly Islands. Look what's going on in Africa, right? I said, I'm glad it's not the Russians. Look what happened in Eastern. Would you like it to be the Iranians? You know, and all, you know. I said, where are you guys getting all this stuff from? You know, and you know, I look at their textbooks and everything. Now I understand why. And I look at their media. I'm watching their media, and I understand why. Okay. So anyway, that's what's going on there in Asia. Okay. Now, freedom of the press is one of the most important things for a free democracy. Okay. Freedom of the press is it's one of the most important things. All right. Because, right, why do you need freedom of the press? Why is that essential for a free democracy? Accountability. Okay? All right. Then what else? Okay? People need to be informed. Okay? And it's the way you hold those in power accountable. All right? Nations that are not free do not have freedom of the press. Okay, I said, you guys in the Philippines, only now you know what freedom of the press is. Under Marcos, you had no freedom of the press. All right? You wrote against Marcos, you got shot. And I said, to this day, you still suffer from freedom of the press. How many of your reporters and radio guys who I know have been killed because they spoke out against the town mayor, you know, and stuff? In Puerto Princesa, you know, I was going to visit the radio manager because I knew him. He wanted me on his show how many times? So I went to visit him, and they said, oh, he's not here. I said, where is he? They go, shot dead. I said, where? They said, right here in the studio. I said, who killed him? They said, the mayor, of course, you know, because he had spoken out against the corruption there in Puerto Princesa. But free press is absolutely essential, okay, for a free society. But you can't have a free, so you can't have a free country without a free press, but you got to have a fair and accurate press, okay? That's just as essential. Bernard Goldberg stated this. He said, you can't have a free country without a free press. What isn't said nearly enough is that you can't have it without a fair press either. Not in the long run, anyway. So you need a free press, but you need a fair press, okay, that's going to function with integrity and report the news accurately and objectively, okay? Now, news media has changed quite a bit, and we need to understand a little bit of news media culture, all right? Study after study has revealed that the vast majority of the press lean to the left. And I don't mean slightly left. They're left of some of the most liberal congressmen, okay, that we have serving in the U.S., all right? Numerous research has been done on this, okay? Analysis of news reports done by researchers from UCLA and the University of Missouri concluded, our results show a strong liberal bias of all the news outlets we examine except Fox News. And the Washington Times receive scores to the left of the to the left of the average member of Congress. CBS Evening News, New York Times receive scores far left of center. Okay, so the reporters in the mainstream news media, okay, are left of even our left-leaning people that serve in Congress. All right, that's what some of the surveys were showing. Yes.
Fox News special report that broke the law, or all Fox News as a whole?
Fox alone was conservative. All the others they found to be the reporters they found to be liberal, left of even our most liberal congressmen. Yeah, okay, except for Fox. Fox was the only one that had those who were moderate or conservative in there. Okay. The best known study was that massive survey done by Robert Lichter and Stanley Rothman that was published several years ago in the magazine Public Opinion. Now, Lichter and Rothman studied over 200 editors and reporters of the mainstream paper, New York Times, Washington Post, Time Magazine, Newsweek, ABC, NBC, CBS. Okay, and they revealed the following. 54% were politically liberal. Only 19% were conservative. Okay? 86% seldom or never attend religious services. 50% have no religious affiliation. Okay? So do you ever wonder why, when they have to cover religious news, okay, like Christian news, why they seem so off the wall, right? Because most of them have no religious affiliation whatsoever, okay? So a lot of times we used to complain. We'd be like, how come when they're interviewing the Christian scholar, they're interviewing all these weirdos on TV, you know? All the weird televangelists and so, why don't they get a reputable Christian scholar? You know, well, if most of them don't have any religious affiliation, who do they know? I mean, they're not going to know, hey, let's call the Southern Baptist headquarters there. I mean, they don't know that. They're going to say, who's the guy on TV? Yeah, let's go interview him. He's our expert here in the Christian world, you know, and that's who they end up interviewing, okay? On moral issues, such as adultery, only 15% felt it was wrong. Okay? Over 90% are pro-abortion. Only 24% believe that homosexuality was wrong. Okay? Another study was done by the Freedom Forum and the Roper Center. Okay? They surveyed over 100 Washington bureau chiefs and congressional correspondents, and they showed once again, okay, a liberal leaning here. Okay. 90% of the journalists voted Democrat, only 7% voted Republican. Okay. Another question they were asked was, what is your political affiliation? 54% said they were Democrats, only 4% said they were Republican. In answer to the question, how do you characterize your political orientation? 61% said they were liberal or moderately liberal. Only 9% said they were conservative or moderately conservative. So when it came to the conclusion of many of these studies, it was discovered that when it comes to the world of the media elites, Democrats outnumber Republicans 12 to 1. Okay, 12 to 1. All right. Now, is there a vast left-wing conspiracy in the news media? I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so. I think they're trying to report fair, objective news, but it's very hard to do so when that's your particular worldview, okay, and that's the beliefs and presuppositions that you're going from, okay? Most reporters are surrounded by their peers in a liberal culture and view that perspective as the norm in America, okay? The big three, where are they located? New York. How far apart are they from one another? Yeah, just a couple blocks. Okay, so that's the culture you're completely surrounded in. All right, and your peers are all right around you. When you go to lunch, you run into all your peers. That's your world. Okay, so imagine they're completely surrounded by that constantly. Okay, they're constantly interacting with each other. And that's their part. It's like a university student, right, that lives on campus, goes to school on campus. All the professors are coming from a particular persuasion, let's say liberal or conservative. They go to their dorm. Most of the peers are like that, right? And that's the world that they live in, and they think, well, this is how the world is. Okay, when they get off the university campus, they might realize it's different. But as long as they're on the university campus and going to the bars and restaurants, you know, that are around the campus, they think this is how the world thinks. All right, so I don't think there's necessarily a left-wing conspiracy, but that's the world these guys are in. Okay, that's the world that they are in. Okay, so it's hard for them to, you know, keep their biases in check, as they're telling us, all right? Because they don't, many of them don't recognize how liberal their position may be, all right? Now, part of the reason for bias reporting is the view held by most people in news media that it's their calling now to shape society into a better place, not just provide people with the facts. Okay? Therefore, news reports are not simply unbiased facts, but rather the product created by news people who want to help transform society into a better place. And they think that their particular worldview and values can help shape America into a better place. Okay. Once again, Terry Eastland, okay, who worked for decades in the news media, observed in his study on the collapse of mainstream media, he said this: the most influential journalists understood that news is rarely news in the sense of being undisputed facts about people or policy, but news in the sense that it's a product made by reporters, editors, and producers. Those who define and present the news have a certain power, since news can set a public agenda, and they weren't shy about exercising this power. Okay? All right, so many think, okay, that now their goal is to shape society and to make it into a better place, and they understand the power they have as news reporters. Okay, so the majority in the mainstream press, you know, lean left, okay, left of your most liberal congressman, all right? Now, when it comes to Hawaii news reporting, what do you think Hawaii news reporting is? Left? Way left? Why do you say that? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's local focused. But, yeah, you say it leans left. Okay. Anyone else? Yes? KGMB, KITV, Hawaii, our star advertiser. Yeah. Hey, what? Oh, yes, yes. Well, okay, you often have to go, yeah, to the second or third page. Yeah, yeah. The front page, yeah, is often, you know, like today it was what, the homeless? And things, but about page two or three is when you'll see a lot of that stuff, you know, and things. Every so often, you know, gee, did I include that one here? Doug Chin's lawsuit on President Trump's Muslim travel ban. That was pretty one-sided, man. That was so one-sided. Because I remember doing it on the Duke Iona show, and I said one of the things missing in the Star Advertiser front page thing is that they only presented one side, Doug Chin and the Muslim, the imam from the Muslim mosque in Manoa. And that's it. You know, they didn't present Duke Iona, who was calling him, saying, I got to, you know, they didn't interview him. And they didn't interview, you know, any one from the, you know, Hawaii Republican Party. You know, I did the story on that. I had him on my show. But they didn't have it. It was just Doug Chin. What's his name? That liberal guy. Oh, Espero. And then the imam from Manoa. You know, clearly, you know. So that was one example there, reading the Star Advertiser. I would have to say our Star Advertiser is. Now, what about our mainstream KGMB, KITV, KHON? What do you think? Are they left too? They're more left? Joe Moore is left? Huh? Oh, yeah. You think so?
I still think they're left. No. Mm-hmm. The problem I have with the media, not just only locally, but the nation, is that they don't get the other side of the opportunity. It's always just the one side view. And my thinking is that the only reason why they do that is because it's what pays their bills. That's all they're looking at is what monetary substance they're going to get in return, because they're only presenting to one side. And the other side, obviously, there's less viewers, less people will be interested or purchasing whatever products.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much deeper than that. Every single agency that we have, all the media belongs to about six different companies, six different major companies. And every single one of them, every single owner and president belongs to a council of war relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why Fox News is the number one cable news network. Now, KHON, right? Channel 2? They're aligned with Fox. Yeah, they're aligned with Fox. So, you know, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Is there anyone local news we could consider moderate or any reporter that you know of that we would consider maybe moderate or conservative? Any news anchor that you might?
Civil Beat tries to portray themselves as moderate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any news anchor you can think of out there? No. Generally, local news tends to be on the conservative side. The big national news tends to be liberal, right? So, generally, but Hawaii seems, you know, both sides seem to go left. Anyway, there's a reason why the big three are losing viewers fast and Fox is really rising really quickly, and why talk radio is rising quick. Talk radio is conservative. The liberals can't make it in talk radio, but the conservatives do, right? I mean, think about it. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. Name me some left-wing liberal talk show guys out there. It's kind of hard to, right? Yeah. Yes. Oh, BBC? Yeah, they tend to be to the left. Yeah. That's why there's a lot of anti-American sentiment when you're when you go around the world, right? And then you realize where it's coming from, their universities and their media. I mean, see, when I was out in Asia last year, they were absolutely terrified of Trump. And everyone in Asia was saying, you better get it right, America, and you better get Hillary. Because if you get Trump, Trump's a crazy man. He's a nut job. And he's going to hit the red button at any minute and going to destroy all of us. So, America, you better get it right and get Hillary in there. I mean, you name it, right? Japan, you were in Japan, right? Japan, Thailand, Philippines. Everyone was telling me that. They said, you guys, you know, I don't know what happened to America, but if Trump is in there, we're done. Asia is going to be obliterated from the map. This guy's going to be hitting button like it's a game. This guy is absolutely crazy. And I'm just like, where are you getting this stuff from? You know? And when you watch the news, you realize, yeah, okay, and stuff like that, okay? Now, Japan is going, thank you, Trump. I mean, they are glad that America's back in the game in Asia, you know, because they're tired of getting pushed around by the Chinese and the North Koreans. They are tired of it. And they're glad America's back in the game out there, and there's someone standing up to those evil regimes out there. The Philippines is glad because they have been pushed around by China, Malaysia, and the Malaysian pirates and the Indonesian radicals for, you know, 8 years. And they're glad to see U.S. ships back in their harbors and a guy standing up to those regimes out there. But, all right. Yeah, it might work. So you can see that, you know, it's not just a U.S. bias in me. It's not just a U.S. problem. You know, it's a problem around, you know, the world. News media reporting has changed, not only in the U.S., but around the world. But I think it's the U.S. that sets the example and the trend. So if we can start getting it right here, hopefully the rest of the world will follow, but, you know, it's usually us and the British that kind of set the trend when it comes to media stuff, you know? Yeah. Well, how is news media bias revealed? How is it revealed? We need to be discerning and be able to pick it up when you say, okay, you got a good article here, or I don't know about this article. Let me go on the internet and double check this guy, right? How do we discern bias in the media? Well, number one, you look at the language, okay? Language. Bias can be seen. Positive or negative words have certain connotations, and people can be influenced by the kind of terms you use, all right? The pro-abortion camp is called what? Pro-choice. Who doesn't want to be pro-choice? Who doesn't want to be pro-choice, right? Okay. Evangelicals are called what? No. Fundamentalist. Islamic radicals are called fundamentalist. All right. ISIS fundamentalists. Christian fundamentalists. You're in the middle. What are you thinking? Huh? I was being interviewed in Dallas by the reporter from New York Times, Washington Times, and the Dallas DFW paper. And they were sitting there in the room with me, and, you know, they were interviewing, and then they said, we don't have a problem with religion. The problem is fundamentalists. That's the problem. Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist fundamentalists, that is the problem in the world. And I said, whoa. I said, there's a big difference between a Christian fundamentalist and an Islamic fundamentalist. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, Islamic fundamentalist wants to copy Muhammad in every way. He is the perfect example. What was he? He was a warrior. He fought in over 30 wars. This guy raped dozens of women. He made a living attacking caravans. And then, so he's the perfect example, okay? And then the Quran, they interpret it literally, not allegorically. That's what a fundamentalist does, okay? How do you treat unbelievers? Fight and slay the pagans, wherever you find them. Cut them off at the fingertips, you know. Sever their necks, okay? Lie in wait for them in every stratagem, okay? I showed you many of the Quranic passages last week, right? So if I'm a Muslim fundamentalist, I want to interpret the Quran literally, which is what you're supposed to do, okay? And then I want to copy Muhammad in every way. The man was a warrior, okay? Now that's Islam. Now a Christian fundamentalist wants to copy Jesus. What did Jesus say to do to your enemies? Love them. Pray for them. When Muhammad was dying, he said, may God condemn the Jews and the Christians or something like that. Okay, and he died with blood on his face. And things. Anyway, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them. Okay. So a Christian wants to copy Jesus. A Christian wants to obey the commands of Jesus. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Fight and slay the pagans, wherever you find them. I said, there's a huge difference between the two. All right, just because you use the same term doesn't mean they're the same thing. There's a huge difference between a Christian fundamentalist and an Islamic fundamentalist. They're not morally equivalent, even though you're using the same term. And I said, that's where your confusion is. Okay? terms, okay, is key in a way that you can detect bias in the media, okay? Or when they say, you know, right wing, what's that mean when you say right wing? Not think of just the common guy out there. When you say right wing, what do you think of? Huh? A what? Part what? Partner? Okay. What do you think of when I say right wing or conservative? Okay, a gun. Gun-toting dude. What else? Rush Limbaugh. Okay. Yes, what else? White guy. What kind of white guy? Huh? Huh? Oh, from the South. Okay, what else? What else? You're correct. When you say conservative or right wing, just to the average Joe out there, what do they think? Right? Old rich white guy, doesn't want any change, right? Wants to keep the non-whites down, gun-toting, right? Tobacco chewing, right? From the South. I mean, that's what you think when you think conservative, right? Okay, when you hear that, it's got a lot of negative tones in there, right? You don't think, well, this is a guy that wants small government, right? He wants, more individual freedom and responsibility, lower tax, you know, I mean, all that, right? Liberal wants big government. You know, government is the answer, so bigger government, more taxes, you know. But it's got some negative connotations, right? So the bias can be seen in the language, okay, in the language. Next we call setting the agenda. Setting the agenda, including favorite stories and excluding unfavorable stories, right? They'll highlight, you know, the press will highlight stories that they favor, you know, that favor their cause and ignore those often that don't, all right? Or when it comes to news, the favorable stories receive extensive coverage and others receive very little coverage, okay? Once again, Bernard Goldberg says, bias in the media isn't just about what they cover, it's also about what they don't cover. Sherlock Holmes once solved a particular thorny crime using as his key piece of evidence the dog that did not bark. It's the same with news media. What they don't make noise about also tells us a lot about their preconceived notions and their biases, all right? For example, When was it? 2004? No. 2008? Anyway, we're the first state to celebrate Islam Day, September 24th. Okay, September 24th is Islam Day, and we're the first state to celebrate Islam Day. Okay? That was passed by the Muslim, that was introduced by the Muslim Brotherhood to our Senator Will Espero, who fought for Islam Day. Okay? Now, how did I know about Islam Day? It's because I lived in Dallas, and everybody was calling me for a radio interview because they knew I was from Hawaii. So stations in Detroit and Dallas and LA, they were all calling me saying, what's going on in Hawaii? Why are you guys celebrating Islam Day? You're the first state in the union to pass a bill declaring September 24th officially Islam Day in Hawaii. And so what did I do? I went to the Star Advertiser, and I said, this has got to be on the front page. And I got to the front page of the Star Advertiser, and guess what it was, Clive? The UH women's volleyball team, man. I didn't find Islam Day story in about page 14, okay? That should have made the front news. We are the only state to introduce that bill, and that came from the Muslim Brotherhood, all right? The largest terrorist organization in the world, okay? The 2008, that's where it came from, okay? But placement, okay? Setting the agenda. They'll report what they want you to highlight, and what they don't want you to pay attention to is put in the back part of the newspaper, or they just show a brief clip of it, maybe, you know, 30 seconds on the news. All right? So that's how you, one of the ways you can detect bias here. Placement. Okay? Front page or highlighted stories are perceived as most important. Okay? Or the ones they put, you know, up front. And the ones that aren't as important go in the back. Interviewing. Okay? Reporters may interview only people they agree with. Okay? So for example, okay, the Trump Muslim ban. They only interviewed Doug Chin, Espero, and the imam from Manoa, all right? They didn't interview anyone from the other side or anyone from, you know, the Trump party or the Republican party or whatever. It's just those three, okay? Interviewing. Or if they do interview people from the other side, it's usually someone that's not as well qualified or some kooky guy, you know, that they're interviewing, okay? Fox does this too, right? Like a lot of times they get some sharp conservative like Newt Gingrich or something. And then the liberal is Al Sharpton, you know. Well, of course Al Sharpton looks silly and he says all kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, he got some liberals who are pretty sharp, you know. So Fox will do that sometimes too, okay? So the answer isn't just watch Fox News, okay? All right. Skewing the facts, or what we call cherry-picking, okay? It's a technique of selectively emphasizing facts that support the journalist's view while discounting and leaving out facts that would run counter, okay? Or what we call skewering the truth, where journalists may misrepresent the information or present faulty conclusions as established facts. Okay? All right, so when we come back from the break, remember these, and we'll show you some examples of these things and bias in the media. Okay, and we'll see if you can pick up on those, all right? Okay, so let's take a break.